Corinthians 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 down through verse 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, and he certainly is to be blessed. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. I'm thankful he's a merciful God. The Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. If you're going to get any comfort in this life, it's going to come from God. It's not going to come from your companion. It's not going to come from any other friend. It's not going to come from your work. It's not going to come from any riches, any position. It's not going to come from any of those things. If you're going to have any comfort in this life, especially as a believer, it's going to come through God, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He's the God of all comfort, and since he is our God, and since he does comfort us in all of our troubles, he says part of the reason he does that is so that when other people have troubles, we can comfort them in the same way that God comforted us. All right? It says he comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I don't thank God he's comforted me. I don't think I've had a hard life by any stretch of the imagination. But I've had troubles and I've had trials and I've had problems just like anybody else has had. And God has been the one who supplied the comfort. Listen, even comfortable words don't mean much unless you can accept them through the comfort that God gives through his Spirit and through his presence. Right? Because a person can tell you how much they care about you and how much they're concerned about you. But listen, if you don't have in your heart some belief, some faith that God's going to work it out, their words are empty words. They're impersonal. But if we know that we have an advocate with the Father, if we know we have the God of all comfort, and if we know that we have the comfort within us, the Holy Spirit, then when a fellow believer comes with comforting words, we can trust that just like he got them through it, he's going to get us through it. Okay, so the God of comfort, the God of all comfort. And I'm thankful for that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings. Lord, we're thankful for the comfort that you've given us. Lord, we're thankful for your scriptures. And we're thankful for your Holy Spirit to teach us through the scriptures. Father, we pray and ask that you'd feed us this evening. Pray that you'd give us spiritual food. Father, we've acquired a taste for the manna. We love it. We want it. We desire it. And God, we pray that you'd feed us this evening with heavenly food, with spiritual food. God, we pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit and teach us and instruct us. Lord, bless our pastor. And help him as he preaches this evening. And Father, may you anoint those words. And Father, may you do a great work there in Canton. But God, we're needy here too. And Father, we ask that you'd work in us. And Father, we pray that you would meet our needs here this evening. We pray that you'd be blessed. And that you'd be honored. And Lord, that you'd be glorified and magnified. And Lord, that you'd draw all men to you. Father, you're worth bragging about. Father, you've comforted us. You've consoled us, Lord. You've provided for us. You've forgiven us. Lord, you've given us every measure of grace, mercy, and comfort. And Lord, we thank you for it this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The God of all comfort. As I said before, the Holy Spirit is the comfort of the Godhead. Turn to John chapter 14 and in verse 16. It's God's Spirit that comforts us now. There was a time where Jesus comforted his disciples. But Jesus said he was going away, and that when he went away, God the Father would send the what? The Comforter. The Comforter. And here in John 14 and verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will
come to you.
He's not going to leave us comfortless.
He's going to make a provision for us. He's made a provision for us.
He told those disciples, and listen, those disciples were dependent. They were codependent upon Christ. For 3.5 years, where'd they get their money? Where'd they get their food? Where'd they lay down their head at night? What road did they travel the next day? Where'd they worship? What ship should they get on? All these things. They didn't make any decisions. God made every decision for them. The Lord Jesus Christ made every decision. In fact, that's why they were called disciples. They followed Him. They followed His every word, His every thought, His every action. They followed Him faithfully as good stewards, as servants. They followed Him. And so He gets at the end of His life, before His resurrection. He gets up to the cross. He breaks bread with them. He drinks the cup with them. He's washed their feet. They've supped together. And He's told them that He's going to be betrayed, and that He's going to be crucified, and He's going to raise the third day, and then He's going to ascend into heaven. And He says, but when I go away, I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you. And that comforter came to him in Acts chapter 2. And that comforter came to me, and it came to you when we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we received the Spirit of Christ, we received the comforter. And He is our comforter. He comforts. He comforts when our mind is a rage. When we don't know what to do next, He's able to comfort. When we can't even put all the pieces together, let alone figure out what to do, He is able to comfort. We don't have to lean upon our own arm of flesh. We can lean upon the everlasting arm, as we just sang about tonight. He's a God of comfort. He's able to comfort. And His Holy Spirit is who comforts. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. Every believer that trusts the Bible and trusts the Lord has experienced this. Something's going on at work or in the family or health-wise or something's going on, or maybe all that's added up. And you say, God, if you don't give me something, if you don't give me something, I perish. I perish. And you go to the Word and it speaks sweet peace to your heart. How? Through the Holy Spirit bearing witness to the truth. Bearing witness to the truth. Just leading you to the right verse, the right time, the right medicine, the right balm for the soul, for that heavy spirit, that heavy heart. He's the God of all comfort, and He comforts through His Holy Spirit. And then we have much to be comforted in. We live in a very violent world. We live in a world that's in opposition to the cause of Christ, to the name of Christ, and everything about Christ. The world is at enmity with God. And so we live in a world where comfort is necessary. Comfort is needed. Christ lived in a very uncomfortable world Himself. He said about Himself that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Live in an uncomfortable situation. But yet He was able to comfort His disciples. Have you read about one disciple complaining in 3.5 years? I'll think about it. Did they complain? Is that what you remember about the disciples? Were they complainers? No? Father, you may be able to find something there, but listen, that's not what we remember them as. We remember them as faithful followers. God was able to give comfort. And when He left, He gives the Holy Spirit the comfort. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. A part of the comfort that God gives. Now this is a nasty word for us. This is a tough word for us. One we don't really like too well. The younger you are, the less you like this word. The older you are, the more you've come to appreciate this talent, this blessing, this comfort, and the word's patience. The word's patience. When you're young, why can't I have it now? Why can't I just have it now? Why do I have to wait? You get a little older, and you think, good things are what? Worth waiting for. Worth waiting for. Right? Patience. Patience. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 says this. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. The God of patience. If you're going to have any comfort in this life, then you're going to have to get some patience from God. You're going to have to get some patience from God. It's something to be prayed for. It's something to desire. Patience. The ability to wait. The ability when everything needs to be taken care of in your eyes, and God just hasn't put it together yet. He just hasn't worked at your timetable. He's still on His. His has worked out a whole lot better down through the ages. And He'll stay on it. It'll suit Him just fine. And it'll suit us just fine looking back. Looking back. He's never, ever late. But He's never, ever early. He's always right on time. Always right on time. Patience. That's what He gives. He's the God of patience. Now, the God of patience and consolation. Consolation. We need to be consoled sometimes because we have problems. There's times when people are just cast down under the weight of our burdens, and a person needs to be consoled. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. One of the reasons, one of the main reasons. Now follow this. One of the main reasons that God calls a man to preach is to console the believer, comfort the believer, encourage the believer. That's one of the main reasons. Now listen, it's to sound forth the word of truth. It's to preach the gospel. But one of the main reasons God calls a man to preach is so that He can console and comfort the believer. Here in Isaiah chapter 61, I've read of Billy Sunday that before he preached, every time before he preached, before he got up to preach, he would read to himself Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, consoling, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Listen, can it be said of you that you are the planting of the Lord? Can it be said of you that you're a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified? I mean, when the storms of life blow across your tree of righteousness, are you planted in the Lord? Are you there planted on the shore, planted by the stream of the living water? Are your roots tapped into that living water? If they are, you'll be a strong tree. If they are, you'll be a tree of righteousness that glorifies the Lord. That's what He wants us to be. And He's got the comfort. He's got the source of power, the source of strength. This Word, His Holy Spirit, His active presence, and His intervening on our behalf. These things plant us in His righteousness. We need consolation. Every believer needs it from time to time. Because every believer is tested with discouragement, with disappointments, with troubles, with the cares of this life.
And so we need consolation from time to time. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll say this. If there's never been a time in your life when you've been cast down, there'll be a time in your life when you will be cast down, when you will be heavy-hearted, when you will have burdens that you can't bear, and you just crumble under them, and you just collapse to your knees under the weight of them. It'll happen. It'll happen. How do you know that? Because it happened to everybody in the Bible. There were times where Paul the Apostle, he just had to give it all to the Lord and to consider his infirmities a glory. But he had the infirmities. Enough so that he prayed that the thorn would be removed from the flesh 3 times. He had the infirmities. Every believer is going to be cast down from time to time. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 6 says, "Nevertheless God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." You know what I'm reminded of from this passage of Scripture? I'm reminded of the importance of visiting those who are cast down, those who have problems, those who are sick, those who are weak. I'm reminded of it. Here, he says that they're comforted. Why? By the coming of Titus. Paul sent Titus. Actually, God caused Paul to send Titus to the church of Corinth so that they might be comforted. So that when he came, he might bring comfort to them. And it says here, "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." I've got that backwards. They were comforting Paul there, not the church of Corinth. Titus was a comfort to Paul when he came to him. Listen, it's an encouragement when you visit someone. Elderly, sick, troubled, in despair, problems. You don't have the right answers. I don't have the right answers. Brother Bruce doesn't have the right answers. Listen, I believe this. When you go to somebody's home, or when you go to some hurting brother, hurting sister, and you come there to bring comfort, I believe the Holy Spirit is able to minister through your visit, through your words, and even through our mistakes. I believe God's able to bring comfort by those things. Forgiveness. Psalms chapter 86 and verse 5. Psalms 86 and verse 5. God's going to comfort us, and He's got to forgive us. There's nothing more miserable than a person under the weight and conviction of their own sin. There's nothing more miserable than that. That's why I'll tell you this, that it is absolute child abuse not to correct your child when they do wrong. It's absolute child abuse. Because they live with that unrighteousness. They live with that sin unforgiven. They live with it. That's why it's called the rod of correction. When you correct them with the rod, it corrects their heart. And they're not under the weight and burden of that sin. Now listen, give them a vote on it, and they'd say they'd rather have the conscience than to have the whipping. Right? You want a whipping? I don't want one, but I need it from time to time. And when I don't get it, then I don't get the record cleaned. I don't get it cleaned off. I'm under the bondage. I'm under that weight, convicted by it. But every once in a while, God just has to jerk the rug out from under me and teach me something, show me something. This last week, I had to correct one of my children. And boy, that hurts. Hurts them sometimes. But you can check them. There are no bruises on them or anything like that. But listen. The problem is obedience. The problem is we need to be obedient. And when we're not obedient, we've got to have correction. And when we get the correction, that's just it. It's all corrected. All corrected. The whole thing is taken care of. Taken care of. Listen, after you correct your children, tell them that. Tell them, now listen, that's over with. That's done. It's in the past. Okay? Let's just move on and be obedient. Because that's what God does with us. He forgives us. He cleans the slate. He says, now, if you love me, keep my commandments. That simple. Don't go back and do all this, and I don't have this ton of things for you to do, so you might someday live up to my standards. If you love me, obey me. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. We need forgiveness. Psalms chapter 86 here, and in verse 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." If you're going to have any comfort, then God's going to have to forgive us. We're going to have to do it. Because otherwise, we'll be under the discomfort of our sin. Turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 12 and verse 1. Isaiah 12, 1. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me," thou wast angry with me, God, "thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Listen, if you've ever had a parent angry at you, or someone angry at you, and then they came, and the anger is gone, and there's forgiveness in place of the anger, it's a comfort. It's a comfort. You're comforted with it. It's an encouragement. Turn to over to Isaiah 51 and verse 12. Isaiah 51 and verse 12. If we're going to have any comfort, if we're going to be encouraged, or we're going to have any comfort and any peace in this life, then we're going to have to be encouraged. And God's going to have to do the encouraging. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 12. It says, "I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if we were ready to destroy, if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor?" You see what God's doing there? God is talking to us. And he says, now listen, I know what kind of creation you are, man. You're one that fears your fellow man. He said, now why would you fear what man thinks of you? Why would you fear what man can do to you? He's just going to die like you're going to die. He's going to wither up like the grass, like you're going to wither up. Now, wouldn't you instead fear me and trust me? And then he explains a little bit about who he is. He explains a little bit about that. Verse 13, "And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens." I'll tell you what, I'm encouraged to be the child of one who is able to stretch forth the heavens. "And laid the foundation of the earth." He's the one, hey, this earth wouldn't have been here without God. From the very inception, the very concept of the earth is God's. Right up to the fulfillment of this earth, it's God's. "And has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor." Instead of trusting the God who spoke the world into existence, we're under the fear of the fury of the oppressor in this life. Listen, be encouraged. We don't have man. We have no need to fear man. We have no need to fear what man will think of us. You know, the greatest problems I've had in my Christian life have been the result of fearing what somebody else might think. It's caused me not to do things that I should do. And as Brother Scott read this evening, to know to do good and to do it not, to him and to sin. It has caused me to do things at times that I knew I shouldn't have done. Just wondered, just because I was afraid of what somebody would think of me. Or I had already decided what somebody would think of me. It's caused me to do the wrong things. And when that's happened, it's been uncomfortable. It's been a mess. I do not believe that a person who with their heart have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and with the mouth has confessed Him as Lord and Savior, I do not believe that a person can engage in sin and have any comfort and have any peace about it. Not for any amount of time. I don't believe that's possible. Because I believe that God loves us too much to just let us flounder in sin and just to wallow in that old slime pit of sin that He saved us out of. He comforts us. He comforts us by encouraging us. Those words are encouraging to me. He cares about us. Turn to Philippians 2, and in verse 1. One of the reasons He comforts us, because it brings joy to Him. In Philippians chapter 2, it brings joy to Paul to see the fellow believers comforted. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ." And listen, Paul full well knew there was consolation in Christ. "If any comfort of love." Love is a comforting thing. God's love is comfort. "If any fellowship of the Spirit." Listen, there's no comfort without the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. "If any bowels in mercy." God's got to forgive us. God's got to wax forgiving with us. He's got to act out of His mercy for us to be comforted. "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man." Listen, we have a Savior who loves us and comforts us. And it brings joy to Him, and it brings joy to other believers when the believer is comforted. We'll look at Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Moses here talks about the God of comfort. Exodus chapter 34. God of comfort is merciful and He's gracious. Chapter 34 and verse 6. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." That's the source of our comfort. Right there is the source of our comfort. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, we have the God of hope, God of grace. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 16, it says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Comfort your heart. Establish you in every good word and work. We have good hope through what? Through grace. If all I had was hope in what I have done, in what I've accomplished, then I don't have any hope at all. But if my hope, and if your hope, is in what God has done by His grace, then we can be comforted. Have comfort. Comfort the heart. Last passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 15. We'll close with this. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 6.
How many mouths do you have?
One. I was at the circus last night. There might be some people at the circus that have more than one mouth. That'd be something to see. How many minds do you have?
One.
What's God want us to do with His, with our mouth and with our mind? It's simple. Glorify Him, serve Him, praise Him. That's what He wants.
That's what He wants. We got one mouth, we got one mind, and He wants it wholly dedicated to His glory, to His praise. That's what He wants. Listen, I get distracted and you get distracted with all other things, all kinds of things that don't seem to bring any honor or any glory to the Lord. And what He wants is with our one mouth and our one mind to serve Him. Here in verse 6, Romans 15 and verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you have ever been comforted with God's comfort, and I know you have, then it will cause you, or it should cause us, to glorify Christ. Look in that verse before. We read it before. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. He wants us to have that like-mindedness, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He's worthy to be glorified. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshipped. Not just because He comforts us, but also because He comforts us. He's also saved us. He's given us a home in heaven. He's given us forgiveness of sins. He's given us life eternal. He's going to put us in a place where there's no sadness, no sorrow, no sickness, no death, none of those things. We got one mouth. We have one mind. Let's glorify Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word, and we're thankful for that You are the God of comfort. And God, we're thankful for the comfort that You've given us. And Father, we have nothing to complain about. We have only You to glorify. Father, in every trial and every trouble, Your presence has been made clear, evident. Lord, Your comfort has been given. And Father, You've been able to teach us to be a comfort to others through troubles. And God, I pray now that You comfort my brothers and sisters' hearts, that it might bring joy, and that it might bring glory to Your name. And Father, we pray that You bless this church. And Father, may this church be a comfort to hurting souls in this community. God, may we be a help and a light and a source of ministry to this community. Father, may we take the truth out to this community. Lord, may we take Your Word out to this community. May we take Your peace out to this community. Father, we pray that You bless us and use us. Father, we thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray.